1942, there were a couple of scientists that worked for the Kodak laboratories, and they were trying to develop a transparent adhesive for gun sights, to hold sights on guns. And lo and behold, they came up with a chemical makeup of superglue. And superglue was developed during those experiments in that time. Also in the 40s, during World War II, this thing was invented that to be taped on ammunition boxes, to seal up ammunition boxes. I think it has a lot of different names, Jeep tape, I forget all the other different names, but it became known as duct tape. A lot of the plumbing and heating guys use it on duct work, on hot air ducts, so thus the term duct tape, which we use a lot during our lives to hold things together. So out of that time period came a couple different things that we know and use today to adhere things and to make things stick together and to hold things together. And I want to talk about that this morning, about being adhered to or bound to God. We've been talking these past few weeks about God revealing Himself to us and the different ways that He does. And I want to specify this morning that God's revealing Himself to us involves a certain participation from our own end. We have a part in that, so to speak. When we look at the people that went to Mount Sinai, that were led across the wilderness, they had been through so much. They had seen the Red Sea parted. They had come across the desert and seen water pour out of the rock, manna from heaven come down to feed them. And they arrived at Mount Sinai. You would have supposed they were spiritual giants. And there's no way in the world they would have turned away from God. But lo and behold, as Moses went up on the mount, he was there 40 days and 40 nights. They became impatient. They didn't see God. They couldn't hear God. They couldn't understand. And they turned to their own idols and idolatry and started worshiping them. And God, in turn, said and told us how much He hates idolatry. In Psalm 63, we see an example of being committed to and bound to God in David. David was a man after God's own heart. But David was a man that, like you and I, had many trials and troubles in his life. There were people that were jealous of his popularity, especially King Saul, that sought to kill David. So they pursued him. And David ran into the wilderness or the desert of Judah. But we see a difference here in David, between David and the people that were led to Mount Sinai, and how they dealt with the situation that they were in these dry and arid places. Probably to the people in Mount Sinai, it seemed like God had left them. But God didn't. God was busy. He was working. It just so happened He was working at another thing with Moses at that time. They had to be a little patient and wait for God to come back and reveal Himself and lead them on in the great Shekinah glory. David was in the wilderness in the desert of Judah. This is an area that we call Engedi, which is on the west shore of the Dead Sea. He was there because Saul was pursuing him, and he had run out into the desert of the wilderness and was hiding there with his men. And David came to a point in his life where he was not only geographically at a dry or arid place, he was also spiritually at a dry and arid place, knowing that someone was pursuing him to kill him. I don't know if you folks have ever been at this dry and arid place in your life spiritually where you felt like there was no life, there was no refreshment for you, you felt dry. How did you deal with it? Did you do like the people in Mount Sinai and turn from God and try and come up with other ways to bring you back, to refresh you? Maybe the best self-help books, maybe counsels, maybe the ways of the world to bring you back. But instead, David chose another path, which I think is good, a good principle for us today that I want you to leave understanding David's situation. And you know, you would have thought, like I said before, that these people that came to Mount Sinai would never have turned from God after all that they had seen. But then again, you would have thought or would think that neither would we after all that we've been through and all that we've seen in life that God has brought us through. David now writes to God in this poem or this prayer from the wilderness of Judah in the desert in Gedi. Oh God, you are my God. Now what I want you to see here this morning is three things. David's condition, that he's dry or he's longing for God, and how he deals with that. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you and my body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. David was earnestly seeking for God because his soul was thirsty and longed for God's presence. He was determined as he sought God's presence. He was dry and longing for God. But what he does in this dry time is he looks back and he remembers. I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and glory. Probably thinking back on the time when he met up against Goliath and with one stone he saw the glory and the power of God fly and defeat this giant. He remembers, I've seen you in the sanctuary, I've beheld your power and glory, and I know that your love is better than life, saying, it doesn't matter what happens to me, the most important thing is your love for me. So, therefore, I'll praise you as long as I live, and in your name I'll lift up my hands. In fact, my soul will be satisfied with whatever my lot in life, because you love me. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods, thus richness, not speaking of just the best, but also in abundance. And with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. So we see David's present condition is a dryness spiritually, seeking the Lord. And we see his past experience with God and that he already had seen God's glory. He had seen what God had done. He knew that the most important thing was that God loved him and he was going to continue in his condition to lift his hands to God and to sing with God and praise God. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? When you're feeling spiritually dry. How many of us, when we're feeling spiritually dry, can just go around with our hands to God praising him? No, we're crying out to God, God, I don't know what's going on here. I feel dead. I feel arid. I feel dry. Help me, God. I need this. I need that. Here's my list. Oh, God, I need this to feel good again. Now, we see David handles it in a different way. He's dry longing for God. So the first thing he does, he looks back and he says, you already provided for me there. I've seen your glory. I've seen your power. I know you love me. I'm going to continue to sing to you. And next we see he has an attitude now of perseverance and commitment as he looks forward. What am I going to do in this place? I know God's already brought me through. I know he's already parted the seas, the stormy seas in my life. I know he's brought me through those desert areas in life. I know he's done everything for me, so now what am I going to do? On my bed, he says, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. The man was having trouble sleeping, tossing and turning because he was so troubled about that which was going on in his life. Much like many of us toss and turn in the night worrying about how we're going to pay that bill. We worry about the in-laws are coming over and am I ready? We worry about that doctor's visit coming up in a few days, that we're going to have to hear something that might not be so good. We worry about how we're going to afford getting the car fixed. We worry about how we're going to get certain things done around the house because we've not been feeling the best. We worry about our kids as they go to school. We toss and turn in the watches of the night. David says, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. In other words, his focus wasn't on what his problem was. His focus was on God totally, day and night, as he tossed and turned in his bed. I used to struggle with this a lot in my life. I started going through a period shortly after we had kids where I didn't sleep well in the night. I would toss and turn. It got to a point where every night between 2:30 and 3 o'clock I would wake up and toss and turn and could not settle down. It took me probably 2 years to realize God was waking me up for a purpose. And when I'd wake up, I'd start thinking of certain people that needed prayer. I'd start thinking of certain situations that needed to be prayed about. And after a while, I learn when I wake up in the night to focus on praising God and praying to God rather than worrying about my situation. And found peace knowing that even in the watches of the night, I should praise God. David goes on to say, because you are my help, I'm going to sing in the shadow of your wings. In other words, what he was saying is, I know that like a hen protects her chicks under her wings, that you're my help, and I'm going to sing out to you under your protection, even though I might feel dry and be seeking you. And the third thing he says is, my soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me. Look at what David does. He has an attitude of commitment that involves remembering what God's already done, singing out to God in praise, and continuing to cling to God. The King James Version says that he followeth hard after, implying adhering to something as you pursue it. You pursue it with vigor, with determination. Like a glue adheres things together. We adhere ourselves to God, clinging to God, singing His praises, remembering what He's done, knowing what He's going to do in the future, because David goes on to say, those who seek my life, they're going to be destroyed. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to sing to you. I'm going to remember you day and night. And I'm going to let those people up to you, because you know something? They're going to be destroyed. In fact, they'll go down to the depths of the earth. That problem I'm dealing with is going to die because you're going to destroy it, God. And those enemies will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. And David's probably referring to King Saul in prophecy here. David knows if he just trusts in God, God's going to destroy his enemies, and he says they'll be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. And you know what happened? That's exactly what happened. In 1 Samuel chapter 31, it tells us that the Israelites were in a battle with the Philistines, and one of the Philistine archers shot an arrow, and it pierced Saul. And he was about to die, but he didn't want to be disgraced by being killed by one of the Philistines, so he ran himself with his own sword and committed suicide. He was given over to the sword, and he lay there all night long until the Philistines found him the next morning while the animals circled his body and ate off of his body. And the next day, the Philistines, who they considered like jackals, came and took his body, desecrated it, and nailed it up to the city walls for everybody to see. Don't mess with the Philistines. So what David said was right. I'm not going to focus on my problem. I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to trust God day and night because I know what He's already done. Oh God, my God, I'm dry. I seek You out. I'm desperate. But I'm going to trust You. I'm going to focus on You. I'm going to know with certainty, committed to You, that You're going to destroy the problem. That's what David's saying here. He wasn't like the Israelites, that when he got in that dry, arid place and it seemed like God was nowhere, he deserted God and resorted to idolatry and turned to the ways of the world to help him out. He stayed focused on God. He remembered God. He sung to God and he clung to God. Now that clinging is not just superficial, like tape. You know, there's a lot of people that are wrapped up in Jesus. They're all wrapped up in Jesus, but there's still something inside that's broken and wrong, isn't there? There's still something wrong inside. They're superficial on the outside, superficially attached to Jesus, but they don't have that spiritual bond inside, that inner bond that chemically connects us, or spiritually connects us, I should say, with God forever. All right, so we say Pastor, what's it mean to cling to God? How do we cling to God day in and day out? How do we cling to God? Because we just can't come in here and be all taped up and wrapped in Him on Sunday morning and leave and expect Him to be stuck to us like Velcro. So how do we cling to God? Well, I know you people know what my answer is going to be. It's right here. Day by day, sometimes hour by hour, minute by minute. How can we ever expect to know God, oh God, our God, unless we open His Word? We get on our knees in prayer, and that means listening sometimes rather than talking in prayer. And as we read His Word, we hear His voice, we know His will, and we find that strength that helps us to cling to Him and stick to Him day in and day out when all those problems come knocking in our door every day. And it seems like the world's just trying to destroy us. What are we going to do? Are we going to turn from God like the Israelites? Or are we going to say, oh God, my God, I've seen Your glory. I've seen Your power. Your praise is going to be on my lips. I'm going to remember You day and night. I'm going to sing to You and I'm going to cling to You because I know if I do, the enemy's going to be destroyed and all these things in the world that seek to destroy me are going to be done away with.